This is a London Undone podcast. My name is Catherine Cartwright. These podcasts give you an audible insight into some curious places around London. This series focuses on the historic and at times peculiar City of London churches, their histories, features, associations, and their spiritual lives. For this episode, I spoke to Catherine Rumens, the rector of St Giles, and Tony Tucker from the Friends of the City Churches. So we're outside St Giles Cripplegate. Tony, can you tell me who St Giles was and why Cripplegate as well?
Right, well, St Giles is right above our heads, above the door of the church, with his deer or hind. St Giles was a saint in France, I believe, and was famous for rescuing a young deer, a female deer, from hunters. And he was a hermit, I believe, and he became a saint, and this church is named after him. Cripplegate refers not to cripples, but it's probably a medieval word, Saxon word, crepple or cripple, meaning a covered way, probably a covered way here from the walls of the city, which are just close by. So it's outside the city walls. It's Cripplegate was one of the Roman six or seven gates into the city. So originally it was a Norman church. It's been rebuilt lots of times. It's one of those very few that escaped the Great Fire. We've got half a dozen out of 40 surviving historic churches. Half a dozen or so are medieval on the north and east of the city where the fire didn't get. And this one was, it's been rebuilt many times. Most of what we're looking at here is was 1530s, 40s, Reformation time, 16th century. The tower's a little bit older, 15th century. But it's been done up a number of times. It was damaged by fire in the 19th century. It was badly bombed in the war. So it's a bit of a mix, but it has been rebuilt very nicely in a proper medieval style. So it does look and feel like it probably always did as a medieval church inside. So it's a good example of one of the very few surviving medieval churches in the city.
It's situated in the Barbican. So can you describe where the Barbican is and setting is outside? It's kind of a bit unusual, isn't it?
It is unusual. It's in the middle of this modern Barbican development. It has for centuries stood amidst tiny alleyways and streets and shops in the medieval city of London. Of course, the whole area is bombed. They rebuilt the thing as the Barbican. And here's the church, just a medieval relic sitting almost stranded in the middle of this brutalist architecture, which some love and some hate, right bang in the middle of it, just a bit like a ship in dry dock.
Is it a parish church for the Barbican?
It's a parish church, but there aren't many people living in London, and most of those that do are in the Barbican.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth.
Who are your congregation? What are they like? Where are they from?
The congregation is local, predominantly, with some members who've been married here or who have a link with us. Well, we are a parish church that happens to be in the City of London, and therefore we have the children squawking or going out for Sunday club. We have a whole cross-section in terms of where people live, which estates they live on, and we have a cross-section of generations as well.
What would you like people to feel when they come in?
Accepted. And we do put it in our mission, in our mission statement, we are an inclusive church. And we think that we understand this because we're part of One Body, One Soul, which is the LGBT plus body. And therefore, those who are in same-sex partnerships are welcomed, and we have our two dead families. But it's also about people who might be more difficult to include. So, yes, I hope we're an accepting place of welcome.
So that's the exterior. You mentioned it's a bit of a hotchpotch. Shall we go inside? Yep. Do you want to tell me about
the only other thing on the outside, please. These lanterns are rather interesting. The lamp standards, they're Victorian. They're originally from Tower Bridge. They're old gas standard lamps from Tower Bridge.
So outside the door, there are how many?
It's at least a dozen.
Yeah, quite a lot. Good bit of knowledge there. I like that. So we're going in. So, Tony, do you mind describing the interior of the church?
Right. It's rebuilt after the war, but it's typical Gothic perpendicular style with the clear story windows above the pointed arches. It's got modern windows, but they're the old stained glass style, but done after the war, with some interesting features in the east window. You've got a number of people connected with the church, including St. Giles himself, who you can see in the top left with the deer.
Yeah.
And on the bottom line, the second from the right, mm-hmm. is Lancelot Andrews, who was one of the translators of the St. James Bible, and he was a rector here. Interestingly, he was a rector here in 1588. That was when he was appointed, which, as all historians will know, was the year of the Spanish Armada. And one of the monuments, and this church is rich in associations, one of the monuments is to Frobisher, who is quoted on his plaque here as being responsible for helping to defeat the Spanish Armada in that very year. Also, a sort of man who sought the Northwest Passage and everything else. So he's one of many famous figures associated with the church.
Pick out three key people.
The first one you have to mention is Milton. Milton was buried in this church. There's a plaque up near the chancel showing where he lies.
Right.
Of course, our great poet, Paradise Lost and everything. Mm. And he's the most famous son of this church. And there are at least three monuments to him.
Yeah.
The big standing one, the one by Bacon in the southwest, and then the other one by Frampton, one of the busts at the back. The other busts there being Bunyan, Cromwell and Defoe, all associated with this church. Bunyan preached here, Defoe lived in a neighbouring street. Oliver Cromwell married here in 1620. So we've got lots and lots of connections.
If somebody came into the church fresh and were to wander around, what would you like them to notice?
What I would like them to notice is the cross. And there is a cross as you come into the church, a very simple wooden cross above the candle stand. But as somebody pointed out to me, if you were a Japanese tourist and came into St. Giles, you would think that we worshipped John Milton. And we also have a lot of coats of arms and the Lord Mayor's sword rest. And therefore, I would like people to look at the east window, which is was reconstructed, was actually finished, I think, in 1968, of saints who are connected with the parish, or bishops like Lancelot Andrews, who was the vicar here over a number of years. So I would like them to look eastwards, and there is Christ in glory on the cross in the middle of that, but I'm afraid that people come in and will be distracted by the obvious memorials to our luminaries, but who've worshipped there, or Milton is buried there, or Cromwell was married there. Yeah, I would like them to look to the east window.
I mean, it has the medieval walls, the columns definitely look medieval, and the arches, but the roof looks modern to me.
Yeah, it's rebuilt after the war, and all the roof and the organ gallery here that we're standing under is all modern. It's all post-war.
Yeah.
You've got some old bits down in the sanctuary by the altar. On the right-hand side, as you look at it, which is at the south, you have a medieval sedilia and piscina. The sedilia, the seats for the priest, and the piscina, the basin for washing the communion vessels. And they're medieval survivors. Other than that, really, although it does look and feel pretty medieval, it has been rebuilt so many times, it is a modern recreation.
Yeah.
But I think it works quite well.
Are you going to mention the sword rest, if that is a sword rest? Because it's rather new.
I could mention, good spot. It's a very elaborate sword rest.
I know you like your sword rest.
Well, having written the only book ever written on the subject, I can tell you this one is a post-war reproduction. There was one here previously with, I think, five Lord Mayor's coats of arms on it. This one has six Lord Mayor's coats of arms, only one or two of them being the ones that were there previously. So those poor Lord Mayors have lost their place, and there are others on there. It's actually very garish and not, in my opinion, one of the better sword rests.
And this is quite striking.
Yeah, there's a new reredos at the back that you're pointing to under the east window. It's modern. I'm not sure who's responsible for it, but it's a rather attractive, I think, modern painting of angels and saints in heaven, and a very nice piece of modern work.
Interesting. It's sort of like a screen.
What strikes me when I came in is the screen
mm-hmm. below that window. Is there anything special to say about it?
What is special to say about that? It was the anniversary of the authorised version of the Bible. And the in 2011, and because Lancelot Andrews was chair of the Westminster Committee, which was responsible for translating the first five books of the Bible, I felt beholden to mark the authorised version in some way.
Yeah.
Because of our heritage, and then by good fortune, we were approached by a theatre company who wanted to do a production of The Tempest. Because it was the 400th anniversary of the first production of The Tempest, which was its first performance was in Blackfriars Chapel. Therefore, there is a link, and also because Shakespeare lodged with the Mountjoys, and we know that he attended St Giles for the baptisms of his nephew. So we do have a Shakespearean link, but you think actually it's wordsmiths, the Bible, Shakespeare. How can we honour 2011? In a way that actually uses the resources of our neighbours. And so we had a four-week production of The Tempest. And what you see as a reredos is two pieces of scenery that we used to hide the pulpit for the production of The Tempest. But, you know, the theatre company said, well, we're going to put this in the skip. What would you like? And I chose those pieces.
We've got in the north window Edward Alleyne, who is the founder of Dulwich College and another celebrity. So,
and there he is holding in the window, holding the almshouses that are still at Dulwich,
That's absolutely right, the famous almshouses, benefactor of this parish, 1566 to 1626. So another association, along with all these many others, yes, William Holman Hunt, the famous Pre-Raphaelite painter, he was baptised here.
Few words to describe the general atmosphere of this church, what would you say?
Well, I'd say that for people that are used to traditional English churches, largish churches, and even cathedrals, it has that sort of feel. Big arches, perpendicular, pointed style. It's not necessarily what you expect in the city, where we're used to Wren and lots of smaller churches, but it's the sort of thing you expect in a big country town in England. I would call it a fairly typical medieval Gothic church.
Yeah, and no Wren at all in this church.
And no Wren at all. No, it's one of the few instances in the city where we don't need to mention Wren.
Right.
Many visitors are fascinated by the modest memorial in the corner over there to Thomas Stapp, attorney and lord destined to carve of this parish from the 8th day of March 1731 to the 19th day of February 1772. On which day he died in the 76th year of his age. That is all. That is all is a poignant epitaph. All is vanity and chasing after wind.
You mentioned in your service as well a lovely and simple memorial stone to Thomas Stagg. Who's your favourite character associated with the church in terms of all the luminaries you mentioned, and why?
Oh, it comes and goes. I mean, I probably should say Milton, but it's actually at the moment it's Rachel Speight, who is not. There's no memorial to her, but we're hoping to put in a panel, a memorial panel in one of the windows. Rachel Speight was the curate's wife in 1597, and she wrote the first feminist polemic in response to a misogynistic paper. Her descendants came to the church 2 years ago and advised me of their foremother, who has a link with the church.
So I didn't know this, and people listening probably don't know this. Could we find out more about her somewhere? Or
you can actually Google Rachel Speight. Yeah. And the family are now in Boston, and they are Massachusetts, and they are doing their own investigations. But I just feel because we do have all these men, and the women's story has been lost, and the women's story is not carved in stone. The fact that Rachel Speight, the curate's wife, 1597, I think that's worth celebrating.
Yes, another answer that I wasn't expecting.